The title this morning is The Cup and the Bread. It's amazing to me how much God teaches us as we go along, especially those like Anthony and I who have been called and given the burden of sharing those lessons with you guys. You know, I taught for 27 years, and it's not at all like we did back then. It's completely different, and I thank the Lord for that. As I said before, we have what has been called the Lord's Supper set out. And I want to look at the passage of Scripture this morning, the Lord wants us to, and see what it says. I don't always say this, but please look real hard. Don't take anything for granted. Go back to our original verse that God gave us when this assembly started, of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, let no man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit, with the traditions of men, with the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This, folks, is Jesus Christ. He wrote every word in it. So as we look at this scripture, pay attention to what it says, but also pay attention to what it doesn't say. It's like I've said, we are a peculiar people, but in our naturalness and in our sinfulness, we can take our Savior dying on the cross 2,000 years ago and change it into a celebration with colored eggs and baskets and Easter bunnies. That's what we do. So let's look at this scripture and see what it says. Paul starts out in verse 23. He says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That's the same way he started the part of scripture in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians about the gospel. He says, I gave you that which I first also received. There's something that's lost in that, because if you don't know it, you can't teach it. And people can't teach another person's lesson. That's what I think Paul is saying here. He says, I'm showing you because Jesus showed me. And I know it, and I have it, and I'm sharing it with you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now that expression, took bread, is simply had a meal. And he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Now, we have made this particular situation what is called an ordinance of the church. Most of the evangelical churches have at least two ordinances, one of baptism and one of what they call the Lord's Supper. it has become a particular ceremony, if you will, that is done throughout the country in all kind of different ways and on different occasions. Sometimes it's done every day, sometimes it's done every fifth Sunday, and so on. But he says here the reason for this is to remember Jesus and the cross. That is the whole point of it. That we don't forget what God did for us with his son Jesus on the cross. If it wasn't for what he did on the cross, none of this other would be worth anything. We wouldn't even be here. So it all goes back to Jesus and the cross. All this other is supporting information. But God wants us to keep Jesus right in the middle. Give him the priority with everything. And never forget what he did for us. And he says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now I had to look up that word show. I wanted to know what it meant in the Greek. And it says that we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ. If you are a born-again believer today, you are all about the death of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. The bottom line to all of this is nasty. It's not pretty at all. It's about sin. And we got it. And Jesus is coming on the cross, gave us a way to get out of it. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about our being forgiven. And I don't think we take that as strongly as we need to. Without it, we would be completely miserable. Without the privilege of asking for forgiveness and being promised in the Word that if we ask, He'll give it to us. With one clause: if we forgive others. We forget about that. We want God to forgive us, but we don't forgive others. We hold them to the line. Well, this is one of those other things. There are several throughout the Scriptures that God lets us decide what kind of relationship we want to have with Him by the way we have relationships with other people. You tough on them, He'll be tough on you. That's what He said. Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he himself will cry out, and I won't hear him. So we can actually have some control, and thankfully it's not as bad as we control it because of the mercy of God and the grace that He shows to us. But we do have something to do with how God treats us. And He says, "For as often," there is no specified time that you do this. "You do show the Lord's death till He come." You are proclaiming Jesus' death until He comes back again and is standing in front of all of us. Nobody's going to forget about Him then. Take it from me. In remembrance. You do this in remembrance. Now let me say this. The next few verses here have a warning. I was surprised. I said something about it in one of the previous times that we observed, and people came to me and said, "I've never heard that." As many times as people participate, they've never heard about the warning. They've never been told about the warning. But in verse 27, "Wherefore," because of what we've just said, Paul says, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Unworthily? That word translated from the Greek is unfit. It's unfit for the situation. And it makes a person, if they're unworthily, liable for a penalty. So he says, if we drink this cup and eat this bread unworthily, we shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The word discerning was a word that says that whenever we participate and we don't even think about what Jesus did for us, it makes us unworthy to take it. So what is the remedy? What is the remedy? He's warned us about being unworthy. So what's the remedy for this? Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let him examine himself? Yes. What does that mean? That means to look at yourself. Examine yourself. Look at your life and the way you live it. We've been talking about this kind of stuff now for several weeks. As we live without the Lord, we develop habits. And then we get born again. Some of those habits hang over into our new life. He says, he talks about the old man and the new man. And God doesn't take the old man and redo him. It's not a rehab project. He takes the old man and fills him with Christ. And he looks like a new man because of that. I can't remake myself. A lot of people try this on their own. It doesn't work. The scripture talks that it doesn't work. Because when we clean out one demon, seven more come in. You can't do it yourself. You can't give yourself Christ. The only person that can give Christ is Christ himself. So, what do we examine ourselves for? Look at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's about judgment. It's about sin. And it's about forgiveness. You see, there is a principle expressed here that if I judge myself, I can't give myself Jesus Christ, but I've got a part in this process too. This process between salvation and being face to face with Christ. I've got a part in it too. And Paul's in Ephesians, like we said last week, says put off and put on. Now, Christ actually does the putting on. But I've got to be willing to let him do that. If I stand up with an independent spirit and say, well, you've just got to understand, I've always been hot-tempered. I fly off the handle all the time. That's just me. Like, that's an excuse. I heard a story years ago from an old preacher that said that a lady made that statement. She said, you know, yes, I lose my temper frequently, and when I do, it's a real show. But she says, it's over so quick. And the preacher said, about like a shotgun blast. Because so much damage is done when we lose our temper. Proverbs says a spirit A man that cannot control his own spirit is like a city without walls. Satan can come in and destroy your testimony to anybody that he can get you to lose your temper in front of. That man will not take what you say about Christ after seeing that. He won't do it. I remember one time right up here in Montevallo, I don't know why I thought about this, I hadn't thought about it until just now. We pulled up to the Dairy Queen, it's been years ago, the kids were little. And there was a motorcycle parked out front, and a guy come walking out of it with a helmet and a black jacket on and everything. And he came out front with a sack, I suppose had sandwiches in it. Well, I know he did. And he dropped that sack, and he jumped up and down on that sack of cheeseburgers for I don't know how long. I've never seen a public display like that. That man, I don't care what he turns into, he'll never be able to share with me the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying.
Every time I'm seeing that man, I think about him.
I'm telling you. And y'all, it says we have to possess our vessel in integrity. It says in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, when God chastens us, you can't even go have a pity party. Because somebody's always looking. Somebody's always looking. And if we put ourselves ahead of the testimony of Jesus Christ and our association with Him, ahead of somebody else coming to Christ, we have done God a great disservice. So sin is the problem. Most of us live days with certain sins that we don't even think about. It's our nature. But I tell you this, folks, you cannot ask God to forgive you enough. You can't. I don't care how much it happens, you can't. People have asked me, how often? Once a week? Once a month? What? I said, I don't know about you, but it's almost on an hourly basis with me. So we're constantly examining ourselves to see if we have sinned that we have not confessed and repented of to the Father. And if we come to the table with unconfessed sin in our heart, we are unworthy. We are unfit to take that occasion and remember the cross. And we're liable for a penalty. Well, what is the penalty? Well, look at verse 30. Because people have been involved with this unworthily, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Look up that word sleep if you want to. In the Greek, it's dead. Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me that because people come to this process and don't think about the cross and what Jesus did for them, that they're unworthy, and because they're unworthy, God has made a bunch of them sick and He's killed some of them? Try to read anything else into that right there. I can't find it. That's what happens. God is very serious about this process, to the extent that if we do it improperly, we can lose our lives because of it. It says in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Remember that word daily. So much of what God does with His relationship with us is on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. We only deal with God one day at a time. That's all He asks us to do. But we have a responsibility on a daily basis to be obedient to God. It says in Isaiah 59, our sin is what causes God to turn his face from us and cause his ear not to hear us. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We all sin, and God has commanded all of us to confess and repent of that sin. Sometimes we don't. And in that state, we're out of fellowship with God. If you are carrying around sin that you have not confessed, you're out of fellowship with God. What does that mean? He won't bless you. He can't use you when you're in the flesh, and you're in the flesh with that situation right there. In Romans chapter 8, it says it's impossible to please God like that. It says that we eateth and drinketh judgment to ourselves. So we do it to ourselves. In Hebrews, don't turn there, I won't be there but a second. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, it says, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Too many of us play. A lot of people don't believe that God will do anything harmful to us. That doesn't jibe with Scripture. It doesn't. It makes for a real good sound from the pulpit, but it doesn't jibe with Scripture. When we judge ourselves, recognize what we do is sin, confess it, and repent of it, God doesn't have to judge us. There's that principle there. If I judge myself and allow God to clean me up, then he doesn't have to judge me to get me clean, 12th chapter of Hebrews. Because he says when he judges me, chastening for the moment is not joyous, but it's grievous. People have asked me before from the Bible, how do you spank your children? Till it's grievous. In 1 John 1, 9, it says that when we ask forgiveness for our sins, and those are the ones we know about, we are forgiven of all unrighteousness. When we obediently to God ask him to forgive us for the things we know about, then he cleans up the things we don't know about. And believe me, we do things that are wrong that we don't even know. If Paul could say, without the law, I wouldn't have known that covetousness was sin, then we have sins too that we don't know about. In verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God doesn't want us going to hell like the unsaved people walking the earth, so he chastens us that we might deal with our sin. Not that we won't have sin, but that we will deal with it. So to take up our cross daily is to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us every day. Now, I said that God taught me something. I've been partaking in the Lord's Supper ever since I was 10 years old. But it's amazing the way God teaches us. And as I went back through this scripture and start looking at it, there's no mention here of it being a type of ceremony. It says when we break bread, which is to eat, and it says when we take our cup, that we are to remember Jesus on the cross. So to take up our cross daily is to remember what Jesus did to us every day. How do we learn spiritual things? We get thoughts put in our mind, and then the Holy Spirit takes those thoughts and confirms us with us. Yes, that's true. No, that's not. It says in Peter that Peter says that we're to challenge every single spirit we hear to see if they are of God. I'm beginning to believe that this is not solely about just when we have the Lord's Supper. I believe it might very well pertain to whenever we sit down to eat and we pick up our drink and we eat our bread. We remember at every meal about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, if the Spirit doesn't tell you that, then probably no harm, because you'll continue to believe what you believe. But I'm beginning to see there's a possibility that this thing might be about every time we sit down to eat. If you'll see, Jesus, it said first that Jesus first gave thanks. You see, that comes from the scripture in Timothy, when Paul told Timothy that everything that you eat is okay. They had those dietary laws, but he said everything you eat is okay as long as it's received with thanksgiving. People feel like that they have to make a noticeable thank you of God when they sit down, and that's okay. But it's the thankful spirit that God is after. Do you appreciate me feeding you? There's something else that kind of leads me in this direction. We just seen, and a lot of folks probably maybe didn't know, that because this is received unworthily, that God makes folks sick and God kills folks. But let me say this. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They weren't participating in the Lord's Supper when God killed them. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and both of them dropped dead in church. In Corinthians, Paul turned a man over who was living publicly, living in sin, and a church member, to Satan to kill him, to keep him from embarrassing God. And in James chapter 5, James says, is there any sick among you? You know the scripture, let him come to the elders, and they'll anoint him with oil and pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But he also says, confess your faults one to another so that ye may be healed. There is sickness because of sin. And without confession of that sin, people can't be healed. Now this sounds hard, I know it does. But like I say, I put it there for your spiritual discernment, for the Holy Spirit to work with you as it works. Because our Bible shows us that God just doesn't make people sick and kill people just when they're not taking the Lord's Supper in a proper way, with a proper heart. But it will simply change the meaning of what we do. Can you imagine that every time you sit down to a meal, your spirit would be so trained that as you receive it with thanksgiving and think about thanking God for the food, if you would remember the cross and what Jesus did for us there and what God caused to put him through, that we might become Christians as we are today. Now folks, because it didn't cost you anything, please don't get the idea that it was free, because it cost God everything. Everything. We think about Jesus and what he went through before he died on that cross, and sometimes we forget about what he was in heaven before he came down. He prayed before he went to the cross, Lord, I'm coming back to you, and I ask you to restore me to the glory that I had before I came down here. So I'll say this. Today, as we participate in this that's called the Lord's Supper, please let us remember the cross and what Jesus did for us there, This is the first Sunday of a new year. God is without time and space, but we don't have that situation. We are very much limited by time and by space. And we think of things as being a new deal, an old deal, the old's passing away, and the new's coming in. Wonder what 2014 will have for all of us in our relationship with God. I can tell you one thing. When 2015 comes around, you won't be the same. You are not the same today you were when 2013 came in. We have a tendency to resist change. But you cannot be obedient to God without change, because not one of us come to Him that He is satisfied with. Until we come to the fullness and the perfectness of Jesus Christ, we won't satisfy God as to our spirituality. So it's okay to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, and please fill me with Your Spirit to the extent that I can see things and feel things and deal with things like my Savior Jesus did. Because there's one thing I've learned. The closer you get to God, the more sensitive you will become about some things, and the more insensitive you will become about others. If you think about it, there was a lot of things that we're kind of funny about today that Jesus had no concern about whatsoever. It never showed that He even cared about it. And I'm sure He hurt some people's feelings in the process. Let the dead bury their dead. You come go with me. That's hard. But as I've said, if we look at this word and look at what it says and look at what it doesn't say and respond to Christ in the way that the Spirit would have you appropriately respond. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for this position that we have in You. We thank You for allowing us to get there. We thank You, Lord, again for Jesus that died on the cross that we might be Your children. Father, make us children like Your oldest Son who came here to make an example, to be the firstborn of the family, that we might allow You to make us like Him, in whose name we pray. Amen.